I'm Gareth Armstrong, and this is a Razor's Edge podcast. Across from me is Alon Reis, CEO of Reis Corp, who has been assisting thousands of entrepreneurs over his 20-year journey building Reis Corp. And this Self-Motivation for Entrepreneurs series is now coming to its end. This is the 10th episode where we're talking about doubling down or doubling up. Alon, can you just elaborate a little bit more on this?
So we're talking about self-motivation, right? And we're talking about entrepreneurship. And entrepreneurship for me has got two extremes. You're either winning or you're losing. And so when you lose, we think, well, that's the point where we have to have self-motivation to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and move forward. But the opposite can be damaging. In other words, winning can be damaging too, because what I've seen with many entrepreneurs is as they start to win, especially if they win early in their journey and start to win successively, is they become complacent. They become entitled to that kind of growth. And when it doesn't continue, when it normalizes, they become devastated and don't know how to actually deal with that situation. So my advice to entrepreneurs always is every time you win, double up on your efforts. Use the energy of winning to double up. So what that means in practical terms is that when I receive an email, "Dear Mr. Reis, congratulations on winning this," or whatever the case may be, the first thing that happens in my mind is, okay, I need to now go find other clients. It isn't, you know, what is the brand of champagne that I'm going to go and purchase? It's, I need to find more clients. That's my first reaction that comes out of my mind. And I've trained myself to do that since early years.
Oh, why? What's the origin of this?
It is the trained relationship with success is to double down or to double up.
But where did it come from?
When you surround yourselves with other entrepreneurs who do glory laps and have these false starts, go from one success to the other, and then take their foot off the pedal as a result. And literally by putting their foot on their new car pedal, opening their new premises, when the focus becomes the things that success buys, then they become complacent. And I watched too many entrepreneurs in my journey. You opened this podcast by saying that I've been involved with thousands of entrepreneurs. Right now, as we speak, we're closer to 15,000 businesses. And I'm in the entrepreneurial ecosystem, and I see far too often the first thing that happens when entrepreneurs win is they take their foot off the pedal. And in worst cases, there's this sense that I deserve it and I have achieved, I've arrived.
I've made it, yeah.
And this is the pinnacle of their success. And literally from then on, it's a very steep curve downward. So by watching, you ask me where I get it from. I watch it by observing. And to be honest, in my early days, in my businesses before Reis Corp, I had gone through that, where I had had early success and followed by incredible pain of loss, and I didn't read that correctly, and I didn't expect that, and all the things that I should have been alert to, I was not, because I was basking in the glory of success.
You were doing your victory lap.
I was doing my victory lap. I was in my 20s. There was a level of arrogance that came with success. It just was very cliched. So by watching others, by experiencing it myself, it is a trained response to success, is that I win. Okay, we need to go after this client and that client and that client and that client. It's that reaction to success. I train that in my sales team, is if they win, pat on the back, well done, that's great. Right, now, done. Like, let's take that energy, that positive feeling, that feeling of confidence, and use it in a positive way, not use it to choose the brand of champagne. Use it to energize yourself to find more clients.
How and when do you actually enjoy it? When do you celebrate?
No, you do celebrate. There is a celebration. It's just a limited celebration. And let's call it a context piece. The celebration is contextual in the sense that, okay, this is the next step. It is not I have arrived, because very often what celebrations are at some level is I've arrived. without doubt, there is a level of celebration and recognition for the success. You recognize it. But the ensuing emotion after that is, let's use that positive energy to pursue more. It's an opposite reaction to, let's call it the knee-jerk reaction, which is, I've arrived. I can now bask in this success for a while. I don't give myself a long time to bask in it. I give myself a little bit of time.
Can you give us an idea of what that timing might be?
I'll tell you two stories here. The biggest deal we ever did at a point in time was in 2008. And it was a deal that we did that I knew after that deal that...
Things were never going to be the same again.
Yeah, we were going to be successful.
So in terms of, I know you may not want to share deal size, but percentage based on previous deals?
It was 10x anything we had done before.
Okay.
Yeah, it was huge. And we'd worked out another market for what we were doing with a particular part of the business. Really, there was no stopping us after that. That night is a sense of relief, and there was no champagne, but there was certainly whiskey, and there was some takeaway fish, and there was some salads, and then there was a bit of crying, and there was a bit of glass clinking, and then the next day to work. So a couple of hours of booze and food and happiness, but certainly not going away for a month. If we do a deal like that now, my business partner and I go, I'll walk into his office or vice versa, I would give Colin a nod, or we'd give a notional air cheers, you know, to each other. Congrats, But if we get a 10x record now, or even a 2x, or even a 1.5x now, that's where more of a celebration will come in. But we're bad at it, really. Because we're busy. We're busy trying to be building. So that's part of the journey, and we have a relationship with that, because we have a relationship with failure as well. You know, I this is a little obscure in terms of connectivity, but I remember when my mentor first came to Race Corp and he saw that there was pictures of some articles on the wall, and he said to me, "Do you believe that?" So I said, "There's nothing untrue about it." He said, "I'm not saying if it's true or not true." He says, "Do you believe that?" So I didn't understand what he's saying. He said, "If you believe your own press, you've got a problem. Because right now everyone's saying good things about you. At some point they might say bad things about you. And if you believe the good press, you're going to believe the bad press." The same thing is true for success and failure. If you believe that success that you had was 100% due to you and not a team and luck and a whole bunch of other...
The market moving in a particular direction, world moving in a particular direction.
Exactly. Then you're going to believe that all the negative was all yours as well. And so you're going to become quite paralyzed by both, actually, because if you're sitting in celebration all the time, you're going to be paralyzed and maybe paralytic. And if you're sitting in paralysis around failure because you're self-flagellating or what could I have done better? And if you don't move on from that, then you also are paralyzed. So both cause paralysis of some sort. One paralysis generally leads to complacency, and the other paralysis generally leads to a loss of self-confidence.
And so what I'm hearing actually is you trying to almost circumvent those kinds of situations happening or those kinds of feelings entering by just keeping it short, measured, and then you move on.
It's about moving on. It's what I do with this energy, both positive or negative. So I win, I pat myself on the back, I clink a glass, and then take that energy and use it. When I lose, the same thing is true. I give myself time to lick my wounds. I feel sorry for myself for 24 hours, and then I take that energy and I get that what generally is anger in me, and I use the anger to double down. So both have got the same architecture of accept the situation, in the one instance celebrate, in the other instance lick my wounds.
But harness either one.
Then harness, then use that to create energy forward.
And just a quick word on the word harness. Harness is such a beautifully descriptive word, because if you put a harness on an animal, it's going to pull you forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of harness. It's a yoke that you put onto something, and it drags you forward, even sometimes if you don't want it to. And so it's a wonderfully powerful opportunity to double up or double down.
Yeah, it drags you. I love the fact that you've picked that up. When you harness that energy, both positive or negative, it moves you forward, takes you out of the funk or the celebratory complacency space, and moves you forward. But in both instances, you've got to recognize your success, and you've got to lick your wounds around your failure. You've got to do that. If you don't do that, if you sweep it under the carpet, it also has got negative outcomes. So let me do a quick summary. This podcast series is about self-motivation. You need to self-motivate in success as well as in failure. This podcast reminds us that both situations require self-motivation.
And we'll end on that actually quite deep statement by Alon. And yes, if you want to hear other deep statements from Alon Reyes, go to reyescorp.com, where you can sign up for notifications on the next and, in fact, final episode of the Self-Motivation for Entrepreneurs series. And while you're at it, follow RaceCorp on your favorite social media platforms, where additional notifications and updates will be shared with you about this podcast series and others that are to follow. I'm Gareth Armstrong, and Alon and I will see you in the final episode.